So far this week, gold futures have hit 3 record highs in 3 consecutive days. In overnight trading today, the price of gold reached $1,058 an ounce. Last November, it was around $700 an ounce. Joining me now to explain what's driving the surge in gold prices is Scott Sendrowski, a reporter from Fortune magazine, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today for the second of our underreported segments. Hi.
Well, thank you very much, Leonard. It's good to be here.
On top of the record prices, hasn't the price of gold been rising quite rapidly, almost $9 in one day?
Well, this has been really outstanding to watch. I mean, gold has rocketed up in record fashion, as you mentioned earlier. It hit record prices in the futures market, with that being that's for gold delivery in December. But really what we've seen is that gold has had basically a decade-long bull market. If you remember back after the tech bubble burst, gold bottomed out near below 300, and it's been rising in steady fashion since. And then really an inflection point came when Bear Stearns, if you remember back in March of 2008, was sold to J.P. Morgan. And that was really the first real crack in the economy. And it got everyone, especially investors, very scared. And so investors started piling into gold, because gold has long been seen as a safe haven for investors. When Wall Street has gone through problems in the past, when inflation has been worrisome, gold has always risen, because gold, more than almost any other asset, stores its value. So if you go way back to the Great Depression, gold bought you however many barrels of oil, and today it buys you the same number of barrels of oil. But the real story here hasn't been so much the supply and demand aspect of it, the way markets really work, but it's been a large influx of investor demand. Because basically when gold reaches its record prices, countries like India, which very heavily import gold for jewelry, they stop buying it. And the recent surge has really been led by investors.
I'm still not 100% sure how this works, because as you point out, after Bear Stearns was bought by J.P. Morgan Chase in March 2008, the price of gold reached a little over $1,000, and then it went down to $700 after several months. That's a $300 drop between March and November. Was there something that caused that drop? Was it the federal government's moves to pump money into the financial system?
Well, if you remember, it really didn't seem like the end of the world back then after Bear Stearns was sold. That was the first crack that we saw. But then everything kind of hummed along, and we were okay, and then Lehman went under. And then after Lehman went under, people really got scared. And gold actually fell after that, just because gold is really pegged. It's priced in dollars. And so when the value of the dollar rises, as it did after Lehman went under, gold ticked down a bit. But really, it's been a market for not only those who are cautious of inflation to come after the Federal Reserve has pumped trillions, I mean literally trillions of dollars into our economy. People are scared about inflation, so they buy gold because it preserves that value. But really, I think in some of the smartest market watchers are really seeing some speculation taking place. And you saw this, if you remember, last summer when oil reached an all-time high. It went up to $147 a barrel. What happened after that? It crashed right back down to around 30. And so you have this once in a while. When you have this massive liquidity in the system, investors have to go somewhere.
But isn't there, you mentioned supply and demand is not a factor, isn't there a lot of gold floating around? And as I understand it, gold mines are churning out a lot more to take advantage of this boom.
Well, that's the important point. So whenever you have such high demand like this and people want to hold gold, they want to hold the bars, they want to hold the coins, well, gold miners have all the incentive to pump out as much gold as they can. And so in this past decade, the long bull market in gold, gold miners have poured something around $40 billion into their mines, and that's new mines, and it's opening up old ones, because their fixed price, their cost of mining an ounce of gold is somewhere around the $400 range. And so when gold is trading at $1,000 an ounce, they're making $600 an ounce, and they have all the more incentive to pump supply onto the market, and that's what you've seen happening. And so you had all that buildup in this past decade, and really that's starting to come to fruition. Annual gold mining increases are going to be around 5 or 6%, it's forecast, for the next 5 or 6 years. And basically what that means is that should have some weight on the price. And at the same time, when gold is trading at $1,000 an ounce, a lot of people with scrap gold, whether that's broken jewelry, whether it's old coins, whether it's something that was passed down from your grandfather, they want to sell it. They want to make money. And so you've had a huge influx of scrap gold supply onto the market. I mean, just in the first half of 2009, there was something like 900 tons of gold that came onto the market. And that's almost, you know, 2 or 3 times the normal amount of scrap gold that's brought onto the market.
At $1,000 an ounce, that's a lot of money. Is the price of gold particularly sensitive to other economic factors? Why did OPEC's announcement that it was considering replacing the dollar with a basket of currencies affect gold?
Well, that's a function of gold being priced in dollars. And so when OPEC, and that was, you know, that was reported as they were maybe considering doing this in a decade's time, but that really scared investors, and they started to think, okay, so if OPEC isn't pricing oil in dollars, then dollars will obviously lose value. Gold is priced in dollars, so that means that gold can only rise.
Well, is the price of gold always in U.S. dollars?
Yeah, that's the main denomination in U.S. dollars. And the other news that happened this week is that Australia was the first G20 country to raise interest rates. And basically that signals that their economy is getting stronger. They're cutting down on some of that liquidity, and investors in currencies have flooded into that market because you get paid more in Australia than you would here in the U.S. with interest rates hovering right around zero. And so that, again, was a bad signal for the dollar. The dollar lost value and led to gold's, was one of the impetuses behind gold's recent rise.
So fear of inflation affects gold sales?
It does. It does. Inflation, the worry of inflation has always supported gold. Back in the 80s, when gold hit its all-time high in 1980, and that's inflation-adjusted dollars. So it hit 850, but today that's quite a bit less. In any case, that was when we had runaway inflation. Paul Volcker hiked up interest rates to 16% and calmed it down. But right after that, gold fell right back down and down its line.
The U.S. went off the gold standard in 1971. In 1974, Congress voted to lift the ban of the private holding of gold that had been put in place in 1933 during the Great Depression. How has that affected the gold market since then?
Well, it only increased demand. I mean, before it was illegal to hold gold in your home, and once Congress lifted that ban in 1974, that was a ban that was in place from the Great Depression, from FDR. Demand only increased, and the price has risen ever since.
Well, FDR had that law passed to prevent the stockpiling of gold. So are we seeing right now the stockpiling of gold that he sought to prevent in the 30s?
Well, the important thing to consider is that every ounce of gold that has ever been dug up out of the ground is still above ground. It's not a commodity like oil, which we use every day. It is above ground and it stays there. And so if you took all the gold in the world and you put it into a big giant cube, it would be something like 20 meters in a cube. And that's not going anywhere. And so as you've had this huge run-up in mining, the gold that is extracted stays on the market. And that should create some type of ceiling for the price of gold.
Well, you said that one of the factors here is that people are expecting the American dollar to decline in value in the near future. And is this a global comment on the U.S. economy?
Well, it is. It's really a reflection of investors fearing the consequences of these massive spends by the Federal Reserve, Treasury, putting trillions of dollars into the system. They're really thinking that right now inflation is non-existent, but what happens in 5 years? Where do those dollars go? And a lot of people don't believe that the Fed is able to quantitatively ease that type of liquidity, and so inflation is a very real concern. But if investors are trying to hedge against inflation, there are a lot of other options, and really one of the best options is commodities, because commodities hold their value and they rise as inflation ticks up. And we spoke with the well-known investor Jim Rogers, who holds gold, but he says he likes other commodities better, just for the simple reason that unlike gold, other commodities like copper, lead, they're not trading at their all-time high. And so if investors buy them now, it looks, and you're expecting inflation, those look to be a sounder investment.
My guest is Scott Cendrowski of Fortune Magazine. We're talking about the golden bubble on our second underreported segment today. Isn't the fact that we don't use up gold one of the reasons a bubble in the gold market is so hard to create?
Well, it is. It's important to think of this market in the context of what we've seen in recent times with oil, with housing, when there were huge influxes of investor dollars into oil last year. That brought, and really for the past decade, that created incentives to those oil companies to find more oil, to bring it onto the market. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, in 2009, we just had the two biggest, in 2008 and 2009, the two biggest finds of all time. And if you remember back to housing, there was discussions that, builders would understand demand and supply, and they would hold down supply to regular levels. And then, of course, speculators were incentivized in Miami to build as many condos as they could because they were selling them for record prices. And what did it do? It brought, years later, home values came down sharply. And gold may not be in a bubble, but you're seeing a lot of investors piling in, and the fundamentals just don't hold up. And so that creates some type of ceiling for the price of gold, even considering inflation and all the other worries that we still have in our economy.
Well, it does strike me as strange that more than a year after the financial meltdown, people are still investing in gold, because hasn't the initial panic subsided?
Well, it seems that way. But there's a new wave of panic happening, and it's the consequence of everything that the U.S. government did to prevent a very real possibility of utter collapse.
Well,
and they threw everything at the problem, and now investors are wondering what happens next.
Well, last week there was good news for the stock market because it outperformed expectations in the third quarter, but that doesn't seem to have brought the cost of gold back down.
No, it's holding steady, and one of the reasons behind that may be you have got huge, very large hedge funds, pension funds, other large institutional investors who are really making money off of gold right now. And there are some things called momentum trades, where it's not entirely based off of supply and demand, but rather speculative trades. If you think gold is going to keep rising, you'll piggyback on that price, and you'll get out of the market before it craters.
Well, we saw something similar with oil, but then now oil prices are down.
Well, that's right, because markets typically come back to basic supply and demand fundamentals.
So what's going to happen to gold? You think we'll be back to 700 in a year or so?
We think that gold will probably subside from its record levels right now. It may still stay in recent high ranges around maybe 950, just because there is a very real fear of inflation. There is a very real fear that there's so much liquidity in the system that it only has so many places to go. And for that reason, gold may.
Scott, we've got to leave it there. Unfortunately, there's a link to your article on our website at WNYC.org. Thank you so much, Scott Sendrowski of Fortune. On tomorrow's show, one of the most exciting football quarterbacks of all time, Hall of Famer Fran Tarkenton. And then Tyne Daly and Katie Finneran, two of the stars of Nora and Delia Ephron's production of Love, Loss, and What I Wore. Also, a screwball yet true documentary about political activists called The Yes Men Fix the World. Plus, Please Explain is all about prions. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blake Neshek, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer, and we had help today from Stephanie Bernhard and contributing producer Virginia Doris. Debbie Fountain was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening. We will see you tomorrow.